Today's scripture is 1 Corinthians 12, 1-11. It's page 163 in the Pew Bible. I'll be reading the King James Version. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one, and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. This is our gospel lesson. This is from the Gospel of John. If you are comfortable and able to stand, we ask that you honor this scripture by standing as it is read. This is the account of the wedding in Cana. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk, but you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Say a little prayer for Sue and I. She's going to be clicking the slides and reading my mind, knowing when to click them, because we didn't get time to set up the clicker. So I will just, yay, and then Sue will change the slide there. So, on the front of your bulletin, you see the picture she has on the screen, M.S. Escher. You've probably seen that print. How many black geese are there, and how many white geese are there? Somebody want to count them for me? All right, we'll let that go for right now. Next slide, if you would, please. And the next one after that. One more, Sue. I like living in the city. You can get a good big cup of coffee in the city. What do you think of that cup of coffee? Yeah, not bad. There are lots of opportunities in the city. Next slide, please. If you're not into coffee, you could get a smoothie. Look at the size of those bananas. Are those huge or what? As big as a person. They must be from Tonga. Aren't the bananas that big in Tonga? Next slide, please. This is sidewalk art. That's what I'm showing you, is sidewalk art. And here's a gal working on a piece. I don't have a picture of her with what she's finished, but it must take hours and hours and lots of work. But these are incredible artists, and they do these things on the floor. Slide, please. Look at this guy. This is in a mall. Look inside there. You're inside the shopping mall, and there's a ski slope. Now, that's something to advertise. Come and ski at the Aurora Mall right here and there. Next slide, please, Sue. Oh, ride the tiger. What's that song? Ride the tiger. Hold that tiger. There we go. I all week long I've been trying to put it together. Richard, I'm going to just have to have you on speed dial as a reference. This must not be a real tiger because you see up in the left-hand corner there's a doggy. And doggies usually know when kitties are around and kitties know when doggies are around. The doggy is ignoring, but isn't that an astonishing piece of artwork? Next slide, please. This one, where are his parents? Who would let a kid come walking across? You know, that's just irresponsible. I can't believe the detail. It's just astonishing. Next slide, please. But this one is interesting for a couple of things. Nice. And summer, this time of year, it's not quite as comfortably, doesn't seem as comfortable. But can you imagine on a hot summer day, and look, the guy's dipping his toe in there with the gal in it. Isn't that an astonishing thing? But this is an illustration. My mouth is going at four times, and my brain is only going at two times here. We'll re-coordinate those and try that again. This particular photo illustrates an important point. You see, it looks astonishing. But now let's pretend that you are standing there on the sidewalk, and you walk to the other end and look back. Sue, would you show them what it would look like? That's the end of her toe, looking from the wrong direction. Next slide. See how it's going way out there? There's only one place that you can stand to get the correct perspective on all of that. You have to stand in exactly the right spot to make everything work together. Perspective. Next slide, please. If you can't see that clearly, the guy is trapped on an island and he's hoping for a boat to come save him. And he sees a boat, he's very excited. And the guy on the right is in the boat and he's looking for land. And the two of them are very excited about getting there, but it's not going to work out quite like either of them planned, is it? Next slide, please. This is a place I want to go. This is on my bucket list. Doesn't that look lovely? Rocks and dirt and plain. It's a huge plain. Look, you can see the cars in the upper right side. You see those? There's a van there and some stuff. But in the middle of it, there's a trail. Must be a goat trail, you suppose. These are very old trails. They've been there forever. And some of the people just have been used to them. They're not really sure what they're about. Next slide, please. And they assume that they went from town to town, but then they came across places where they meander all over the place. And if you're going to make a path between towns, you make a line, don't you? So they were perplexing lines. They were perplexing things. But from this perspective, this just didn't make much sense to anyone until you climbed up on the hills on the side of this mesa. Or at the advent of the airplane, someone flew over them. Sue, next slide, please. Those lines combined together to make what's called the Nazca Lines of Peru. Next slide, please. That's about where it is if you're putting it on your bucket list. Can you see the little red spot there? And there's a mesa there, and then there are all kinds of these glyphs is what they're called. Next slide, Sue. An artist combined a bunch of them there to give you an idea of what they're looking at. And these are symbols that were very typical for the culture of the time. You can see in the middle there is the hummingbird that we saw a second ago. To the left of that, you see the monkey with the spirally tail there? And down to the right, you see the spider wandering around. I don't know what all the other critters are, but these are glyphs of creatures from their culture. And from above, they formed those creatures. But from the ground, the perspective was drastically different, wasn't it? Next slide, please. Perspective. Next slide, please. I am amazed at this one. Look at the work they went to make this look so authentic. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. It's not a picture. Did I fool you with that one? The van really fell in the hole there. So here's a case of if you want to talk about what you can see from different angles. They have, but the story's the same, you see. Now you have uniformity of being able to see. So maybe being able to see from different viewpoints helps us with our perspective, don't you think? Next slide, please. This looks like Rich and I working on light bulbs, doesn't it? Rich, it's a 6. And Rich is saying, no, Peter, it's a 9. And from our viewpoint, we're exactly right, aren't we?
Next slide, please. Same story, different scenario. I like the characters in this. This is somebody I could probably draw. I think I could actually draw somebody that looked like that. But it's important to note that our viewpoints are of the same thing, but they may have differences that are impacting us and drawing us apart, that creating division between us because of from our viewpoint, this is the way something looks. From our perspective. Next slide, please. This is the scripture out of Corinthians. Therefore, I have it written here. Renee read it. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, let Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Who in the world would say that Jesus is cursed? It doesn't make sense. And from our viewpoint, looking back, we think these must be some awful, horrible, bad people. Next slide, please. But in their worldview, there was a condemnation of the human body. These are flagellants. These are people that are whipping themselves because the body was believed to be bad. Everything physical was bad. All that we are aware about being human was bad, and we punished ourselves. Some of this comes out of a belief system known as Gnosticism, and some of that's tied in here. Next slide here. But good came out of the Spirit. And some of those people that they were writing to in Corinth had begun to pray, and speaking in tongues, they would shout out, Jesus is cursed, referring to his human body. And Jesus is blessed, referring to his spiritual body. And Paul is calling them to account and calling them back, no, in the name of the Holy Spirit, you can't curse. Say that if you're speaking from the Holy Spirit, you cannot call Christ cursed. And so he is helping them re-refine who they are. Slide, please. Isn't that pretty much what where you're about is trying to follow in the footsteps of the teacher, the leader, the master teacher, trying to fit our footprints into his footprints, trying to walk where he has walked and be about that. Next slide, please. He took on his ministry, some people went to challenge him, and they brought him a woman. She had been caught in the act of adultery. The laws were very clear. The laws are very straight. We all know what they are, don't we? If a woman is caught in the act of adultery, she's to be taken out of the city walls and stoned to death. And they say, Jesus, what should we do here? And he's written something on the ground, an enigma to us all. And he said, the one of you who is without sin, cast the first stone. And slowly, one by one, they all depart. You see, because he took the laws, and he said, there's a greater law. Next slide, please. The law of love, the law of care, of compassion. God's laws of love are more important than any other laws. And he helped see that and see that viewpoint. Next slide, please. Our gospel lesson. They're having a wedding. How many of you ever been to a wedding? Yeah, me too. I've been to a couple. It's interesting being in the wedding too, but that's another story, because you get to hear all of the things that are going wrong. All the panics and, oh no, we're out of wine. And you can hear it. We're out of wine. We've run out of wine early. A bunch of people drinking heavily, no doubt, and they run out of wine. And so the mother of Jesus, in John, she's never referred to as Mary. She's the mother of Jesus. And she turns to him and says, they're out of wine. It's a meta message saying, can you fix this? Because she knows he is quite capable. He's quite amazing. He's an astonishing young man. She knows her son. And he says, woman, it's not my time. Next slide, please. I am here not to do magic tricks and to fix simple things. I am here as the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. I'm here to atone for the sin of all time, for all time, for all humanity. My role is greater than you can possibly imagine. From her viewpoint, they needed wine for the wedding. But that greater mind view, that greater viewpoint from the master teacher. Next slide, please. I think I've seen this occasionally. Coming down an alley and you come upon this street sign like that. Have you ever seen something like that that just seemed to be enigmatic? There's an interesting thing about them, you see. There are two messages there. And this kind of unsettles me because I stop and I have to think to myself, all right, there's two ways to respond to this. There are two viewpoints, and I can see the two viewpoints here. So I have to struggle with that. But what unsettles me is those times when I have a viewpoint that I'm not even aware that my viewpoint is not the complete view. That my viewpoint is so skewed, so centered in one direction that I'm not seeing someone else's viewpoint and don't understand it, and so I reject them. Our country is divided. And part of that is about viewpoints. From one viewpoint, they're doing what's right for them. From another viewpoint, they're doing what's right for them. And these two viewpoints are in conflict one with another. It's like seeing the six or the nine. Both are right. And so how do you get around that? We have to stop and say, all right, our viewpoints differ. But what can we say that we agree on? Jesus Christ is our Savior. Jesus Christ gathers us, and here's a place to bring us together to be about being the people we can be. Next slide, please. What about us? What piece of us is locked into a place that is exclusionary or that separates us from someone else, and it's because our viewpoint is not yet grown enough to have walked in the moccasins of another? What part of us needs to be open and hear God speaking to us and hear that we are one in many things? Next slide, please. Tomorrow's Martin Luther King holiday. It's Human Relations Sunday. We are about that. And King helped a lot of people start seeing things from a different point of view. There had been a viewpoint that was historical. It had always been that way. Our society, our history is filled with that. There was a time when women were not allowed to be in church. You weren't allowed in the temple. The men went into the temple. The women stayed in the outer court. Women had no voice. Go home and ask your husband afterwards. There were times when we were separated black from white. There were times when we've been separated clergy from lay. There have been, and each time we came to confront those, the weight of the history of how we'd always seen things was heavy on us, and to open our eyes to new ways. And it took a lot of work. And King, prophetically, was one that has helped us open our eyes in many ways. I'd like to end, if I could, with just a portion of his I Have a Dream speech. It is an inspired piece, in my opinion, so if I might. Sue, we'll try and do this together. I'll read, and you just go where you want to go there. King said, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. And then he quotes Isaiah. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. And when this happens, when we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black and white, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing, in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, free at last. His vision, his way of seeing things in another way. And it was the beginning of a journey. It's not the end. We have more work to do there, and we will. And we can do it most from settings just like this where we gather together in Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, but all are one in Christ. May our vision be opened by the master teacher. May our directions be such that we can follow where Christ leads us. You can go to that last slide. May we see through his eyes and follow. Amen.